We are going to speak about the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. I would like to request all the Vaishnavas, please bless me so that I can speak something. Although Ramayana is a big Purana, it's not easy to remember everything, but I will try my best. I have made some notes to refer myself. Ramayana is written by the great sage Valmiki. You maybe know about his past life, or if you don't know, it's not maybe the, because we don't have that much time to discuss. But by the mercy of his guru Narad, he became a Brahmarshi, and then by the order of Narad also he wrote the Ramayana. 24,000 verses of Ramayana he has written, and out of that 25,000 there is 7 khandas, and we are today discuss about the Bal Khanda, when the Lord appears. So this is the day, maybe tomorrow we are going to celebrate the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, but today also not ordinary day, just day before the Lord appears in this universe, in this world, in Ayodhya, that is called Abodh Dham. The quality of Valmiki, by chanting the holy name, Lord Rama's name, that was given to Valmiki by Narad. That's the mantra he has given, that you chant Ram, then you become purified. By chanting the holy name of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ram was not born by that time. So, not in this world. Although his activities are going in the Abodh Dham, in his abode. But here the Lord was not appeared. And that time, the holy name of Lord Ramachandra was chanted by Valmiki day and night, non-stop. He turned into a termite, the place for living the termites. The whole body was covered by the termites. So there was no flesh, nothing left, only the bone. And the body was covered with the termites. And then at the end, he got the benediction and he started the Ramayana. Ramayana was written before even the Lord Ramachandra appeared in this planet. So you can see the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra was visualized by Valmiki, and exactly same thing was happening when Lord Ramachandra came to this planet. King Dasaratha, the father of Lord Ramachandra, he lived about 60,000 years without any son. 60,000 years in Treta Yuga was, it's something, you know, people used to live 100,000 years. So 60,000 years he lived without any sons. And he never had any difficulties for thinking about why he should not have a son. He was always in the sublime state of, you know, thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he never got worried about not having son. He had a daughter in the past. We'll talk about that later stage. And all of a sudden, the king desired to have a son. After 60,000 years living in this planet. Why he didn't have the sons? Why he didn't desire beforehand? There is so many questions being asked here. Some sages, they say that, you know, there was no such jivas in this planet who could be qualified to be the son of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ram, King Dasarath. Who could be the son of King Dasarath? Dasarath was very pious. In his past life, he was the Swayambhu Manu, and his wife was Satarupa. They both practiced a great austerity in the Namisaranya. Namisaranya is a very glorious place where the Bhagavatam was second time was spoken by Suta Goswami. Very pure place. So Swayambhuva Manu and Satarupa, they have started the austerity for very long time in thinking in the mind that they will get the son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So who could be the, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No one is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or no one is above him. So only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be the son. So no one else. After they have practiced the austerity for a long time, the Lord was very much pleased. After pleasing, the Lord arrived and asked for the benediction, and they said that, Satarupa and Swayambhuva Manu said that, we need a son like you. And the Lord was saying that, Tathastu, I will be your son. But I will be your son in your next life when you are going to be King Dasarath and you are ruling the Ayodhya. So that's the time I will be your son. So King Dasarath was ruling this planet and Ayodhya was the capital of this planet at that time. So king was ruling. 60,000 years have gone past, and once his guru Vasishtha and Arundhati, his wife, they were discussing about King Dasarath. Arundhati is saying that I'm really surprised. You are kind of guru who is so elevated, and your disciple is not having a son. I'm really surprised. Could you kindly do something for this? He said that Vasishtha, the spiritual master of Dasarath, said that, what should I do? The king never asked me anything about his son, to get a son or anything. And the king never tried also. He was totally observed in his mind with the serving of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was never worried about having anything, because he knew that, the Lord will come as his son. And now here Arundhati and Vasishtha, the spiritual master, is discussing about the king doesn't have a son. How this is possible by having a guru like you? And Vasishtha said that I'm fine with it, but he never asked me. According to Manusmriti, if a guru is not being asked, he should not advise. So what about us? If somebody hasn't asked us any advice, better to not give that advice. Better to keep it with ourselves. Even you see something is wrong going, if there is something around you that's not right, the best thing is to keep yourself within yourself and never think negative about anyone. So this is the example of Vasishtha. Vasishtha never thought the urge to advise, thinking to advise the king for getting a son. So that is the difference between in the material life. Sometimes we invite ourselves to advise people without any invitation. But this is the different. In Manusmriti it says that a guru should be always keep quiet until a disciple is asking some question or having some thoughts about having some question about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or how to connect Krishna. So that way, Vasishtha was never advised the king. Then Vasishtha said that he hasn't have the desire to have the son. How can I, you know, force upon him that he should have a son? Arundhati said that, you don't worry. I will decide that. I will be, you know, doing something and that will happen. He will be desiring. So what happened one day, Arundhati has visited the palace of the king, meeting with the queens, Kausalya, Kaikeyi and Sumitra. They are not ordinary people. They are not some ordinary person. According to Valmiki, it says, Jnana Saktischa Kausalya Sumitro Upasanatmika Kriya Saktischa Kaikeyi Bedo Dasaratha Nripaha. So, Kausalya is the personification of knowledge. Jnana Saktischa Kausalya Sumitra Upasanatmika. And Sumitra, the wife, the second wife, was, she is the personification of bhakti or the devotion. Kriya Saktischa Kaikeyi, and all the karma, the good karmas. Kaikeyi is the personification of the all the karmas. And Bedo Dasaratha Nripaha. And the Vedas, King Dasaratha is the personification of the Vedas. He was always reciting the Vedas in his kingdom, always. The Vedas are recited by the Brahmanas. So it was so powerful. So he is the personification of the Vedas. So these are not ordinary people. So Arundhati has visited the palace of the king, talking to the queens, and then the king came. While talking to the king, Arundhati has a little child, he started crying. And King Dasaratha, wondering why the kid was crying all of a sudden. He was fine until, you know, king came and started talking. And Arundhati said that he was inquiring from Arundhati, and Arundhati said that the reason he is crying because he doesn't have the, he is feeling that, you know, the king doesn't have any sons. Since he doesn't have any sons, after the king, how he will be the guru of the, you know, this kingdom? So there won't be any king. So that's why he's being worried and crying. Then king thought that, okay, this is the time maybe I have to think about, you know, having the son. And then there is another, some sages, they say that why the king didn't have the son? Because the king never asked to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, now you come, I'm ready for, you know, you. He was thinking that the Lord will come one day, so I should not be worried about it. So then the king desired to have the son. He was thinking too much on that day, and next day morning he went to his council, met with his guru Vasishtha and discuss about getting the son. And how the king was thinking in his mind, I would like to have a Ashwamedha Yajna, and by doing the Ashwamedha Yajna, then I will get the son. If someone is knowing about the Ashwamedha Yajna, it's a long process, a whole year process. A horse is being released by so many, there will be so many mantras written on the horse, and there will be brahmanas, and there will be so many soldiers following the horse. The horse will go whichever direction it likes to, nobody will stop. And if any king comes to catch the horse, there will be a fight and he has to be defeated. If he is defeated, then the yajna is continuously going on. So the yajna was taken about a whole year. So this is the Ashwamedha Yajna. King Dasaratha is asking to his guru Vasishtha that, what about having Ashwamedha Yajna and then I will get the sons? Vasishtha says that that's a good idea. Yes, you should have the Ashwamedha Yajna, and then the preparation starts. While discussing this with his spiritual master, Sumantra, the minister, the prime minister of the king, he's not an ordinary person. He came to discuss something in his ear, discuss with the King Dasaratha that he has heard something wonderful things. So what was that? Sumantra said that I have heard from the great saints that Sanat Kumara, out of four Kumaras, Sanat Kumara, once he was giving a pravachan, katha, with the sages long time back. And the sages asked him that, you know, when King Dasaratha is going to have the son. Sanat Kumara Bhagavan Purvam Kathitvan Katham, Valmiki says. So long time ago, Purvam means long time ago, Kathitvan Katham. So he was speaking to the saints because they were asking the question. And what he said that when King Dasaratha is going to start the Ashwamedha Yajna, then Sringrishi or Rishyasringa will definitely discuss about Rishyasringa, such a great personality, who is going to perform the Putra Kameshti Yajna or Putreshti Yajna to get the son for King Dasaratha, and that's the time only the king will get sons. When the king heard about this, he decided at this time the preparation for Ashwamedha Yajna was going on. And then the king decided to go to get Rishyasringa. Who is Rishyasringa? He is the son of Vibhandak Maharshi. Vibhandak is a great saint, the son of Kashyap. Kashyap, who has got all the land from Lord Parashuram. Lord Parashuram was defeating the Kshatriyas, taking their kingdoms, and then given all to Kashyap. Then Kashyap, what he did? He's a saint. What he's going to do? He again gave back to the Kshatriyas. So the Kshatriyas got back their kingdoms. So they are the, you know, great tradition, great parampara. So Rishyasringa was the son of Vibhandak, Rishi Vibhandak. He wanted his son to be a great brahmachari. He doesn't want to be a grihastha, or he should not know about man and woman, the difference between man and woman. So that's what, you know, Vibhandak wanted. So what he was doing, he was keeping him in a forest. There was an ashram, and in that ashram, Rishyasringa was living. And in this ashram, the ashram rules were there was no one woman can visit that ashram. There can be trees in the ashram, but there cannot be any creepers. There can be lions, but no lioness will be, you know, enter into the ashram, the boundary of the ashram. So that was the very strong austerity practiced by Vibhandak and as well as Rishyasringa. That was the powerful, isn't it? So he never visited outside his ashram, Rishyasringa. And by practicing the Vedas and chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes so powerful, Rishyasringa. So once what happened, Valmiki says, anavijnastu narinam visayanam sukhasya cha. So Vibhandak Muni Rishyasringa, the son, he didn't know the difference between anavijnastu. He didn't know anything, the difference between narinam, the woman, and the man. And it's related the happiness from the woman derived from. He didn't know any matter of this. He was living very simple, not knowing anything. In the Bhagavatam, we can give an example like Sukadeva Goswami. Yampra bhajanta manupetyam upetya krityam dvayepayana virahakatara ajuhava putreti stan tanmayata tarvo vinodu stam sarva bhuta hridayam munijana tasmi. When Sukadeva Goswami born, immediately after his birth he left the home. How old he was, anyone can say? He was 16 years old. He was living in the mother's womb for 16 years, and then after he left immediately without having any upanayana sanskar. A Brahman son, at the age of 12 to 17, they get the upanayana sanskar. And he didn't get any upanayana sanskar, he just left. Why he left? Because he didn't wanted to get contaminated by the material life. So immediately left, he lived in the forest. As he was leaving, Vyasadev following him, cried out for come back, bringing him back, calling out, oh dear son, please come back, dear son, come back. And Sukadeva Goswami, not listening to that, just walking away. He didn't have even cloth. He was totally Digambar. No clothes. Walking away, as he was walking away, there was in the forest, there was a lake. Some women, they were taking bath in the woman, in the lake. As Sukadeva Goswami passing by, the women, they didn't react to him anything, although he was not having any cloth. And then after little while, then Vyasadeva was following the same path. When the women, they saw him, immediately they got out from the water and they put their clothes on. They cover their head. They feel shy seeing Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva was really surprised. He said that, why? My son, young son, who was 16 years old and he didn't have any clothes. And you all didn't thought that it is necessary for putting the clothes on. And you saw me, and all of a sudden you are running to your clothes and covering, and you are being shy. Then the ladies, the young girl said that the reason we did that, because your son, he didn't know the difference between man and woman. We can feel that. But whereas you are an elderly person, still you know the difference between woman and man. So that's why we behave like that way. So this is the nature of Rishyasringa. So Rishyasringa was living in the forest in his ashram. Once upon a time, there was a kingdom called Anga, and the king was Romapada, one of the best friend of King Dasarath. So what happened in his kingdom, there was a drought and there was no water, no rain, nothing. And the king was lamenting that without the rain, the citizens, they will suffer, I will suffer. So he started asking and getting the advice from the sages and the brahmanas that you need to go bring Rishyasringa to your kingdom. Then you will, all your problems will be disappear. Without the rain, there won't be any grains. And without grains, how someone can live? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yajnyat bhavanti parjanya parjanyat anna sambhava अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि यज्ञ कर्म समुद्भव. बाय प्रैक्टिसिंग द यज्ञस सच एज इन कलि युग द जप यज्ञ, चैंटिंग द होली नेम्स, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे, सो देर विल बी टाइमली रेन. इफ द रेन कम्स टाइमली देन यज्ञात भवति पर्जन्य. By chanting the holy name, by doing the japa yajna, the rain comes. By the rain comes in time, then there will be grains. And once the grain comes, then the living beings can live with the grains. So that's the process. So King Ramapada was lamenting what to do, and the brahmanas and sages said that you have to bring Rishyasringa to the kingdom of Anga. Once he comes, then this will be all, your all problems will be disappeared. But who could go to Vivandak Maharshi's ashram? The rules are so strict. Rishyasringa can't see any woman. So how he can come to the kingdom? So this is a big question mark for everyone. No one was ready to go because they know that Vivandak is a very powerful sage and he can curse them. Then what happened? Since no one was getting ready, there are some singing and dancing girls in the council of the kingdom. They prepared to go themselves. They said that, okay, dear king, we are going to go since no one is going. And give us a nice boat and decorated with so many trees and flowers. It's a big boat. And we'll go and we'll try to bring Rishyasringa. So they prepared, they have gone, then they took the boat in the river, went all close to the ashram of Rishyasringa. They were hiding there, looking at the activities of Vivandak, the father of Rishyasringa, what he's doing. Because Rishyasringa wouldn't leave the ashram. He would always live in the ashram. And father only go to the forest to get wood, get the root or fruits, anything it needed for the ashram. So the son was protected from any even female animals or any creepers or anything even in the forest. So the girls, they were waiting. When they saw Vibhandak Maharshi has left the ashram to collecting wood, that time they have approached the ashram and met with Rishyasringa. As Rishyasringa saw the ladies, he never saw before. So he saw someone very different looking human beings. So then he says, Balmiki, King Balmiki says, Karisye hotra pujanam sarvesam vidhipurvakam idam argyam idam padyam idam moolam phalam chana. So Rishyasringa, he received them very nicely to the ashram and he said that now I'm going to worship you. So this is the Vedic tradition. If someone is visiting you, they called Atithi, Atithi Devo Bhava. We say that. So those are visiting to your place, they are your Atithi, or they are your Devo means they are the God, equal to their God, although they are not the God, but they are equal to God. So that's why Rishyasringa, the great saint, he knew that from the father, that if someone is visiting to his ashram, then they worship them. So how the worshipping was going on, he's saying that idam argyam idam padyam idam moolam phalam chanaha. So he's saying idam argyam samarpayami, idam padyam samarpayami. So when we worship the deities, Jaya Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jaya. So like worshipping the deities, how we worship idam argyam, idam padyam, idam achamanyam. So similarly, King Rishyasringa started worshipping the ladies. The ladies, they were not interested of getting the worship because they know that how great this personality, and we are not that qualified to get the worship. But if we reveal ourselves, then we are in trouble. He will not go. So that's why they have to hide. They were very tricky to take Rishi Shringa to the kingdom of Anga. So after worshipping them, Rishi Shringa then started asking questions. Without asking questions, first he worshipped, then he started asking the questions. So, who are you and who is your guru? What kind of Vedas you recite? So all these questions he asked. That's the normal way of asking questions if you meet with someone after worshipping. So ask the questions, where are you from? So he said that we are from the next side of the kingdom. And what kind of Vedas you chant, recite? Then the lady said that we recite Samved. Samved is a singing form. So generally the saints, the brahmanas, they recite with singing, in a singing, very different melodious way they recite the Samved. And they used to sing and recite the Samved. So they said that we recite Samved. And then he asked, so who is your guru? The lady said that we are not going to reveal our guru. Why you should not reveal your guru? He said that according to Manusmriti, you should not supposed to reveal your name, your guru's name, and a miser's name. Why your name if you should not say to public? Because keep saying your name, you become so much ego. I'm this, my name is this, I do that. So by saying that, you get so much ego. So that to avoid the ego, you should not use so much your name. You should not also say your guru's name, your father's name, your elderly, anyone who is older than you. We should not supposed to use their name. Those are older in age, like in Vedic culture, we don't name our mother or father. We don't, call them by names. Even our brother, we don't call them by names. Elderly brothers. So these are the rules. And similarly for the guru, we should not supposed to call the name of the guru unless someone is asking who is your guru. Then very rarely we use his holiness or his grace. We use that, first the name, to identify our guru with great respect. So we should not use that, the name. Then a miser, why we should not supposed to speak about a miser? Miser means in many different ways. It's not only who is having the money and not wants to give you. Having a human body, form of life, and not chanting the holy name is also a miser. And if someone is not chanting the holy name, why should be his name should be, called? Because you are going to get only negative. Once you talk about him, you will talk about his qualities or something bad or something negative. His bad quality will enter into you. So that's why you should not supposed to call out someone's name. So anyways, then, after this discussion, the ladies, they have said that we have brought something from us. We are going to gift you. So they have got some sweets like laddus, rasgullas, something. So they have given to Rishi Shringa. Rishi Shringa, being in the forest, he never saw those kind of things. And Balmik says that, seeing those things, he thought that these are the fruits the ladies they are offering him. And he started eating. And by eating that, he thought that, wow, it's so sweet, so tasty, and has no seeds, the peel, no skin, nothing. So that's why, it's such a wonderful fruits. And he said that, what kind of fruits this is? I never had this kind of fruits. Then the girl said that, oh, this fruit is from us. Only if you can come to our kingdom, then we will show you what kind of fruits you are getting. So they were also tricking him. Being so simple person, Rishi Shringa said that, okay, let's go then. I would like to see the tree. where you grow this, you know, fruits. And they brought him to the boat. Then they started riding the boats all the way close to the border of Anga, the kingdom of Anga. As the boat has arrived, King Romapada was waiting. There was a waiting place. The Brahmanas were waiting also. The great saint Rishyasringa has got down from the boat. As soon he kept his foot at the border of the kingdom of Anga, there was a rain. Immediately, all of a sudden, the rain arrived and rained for so many days. Whatever the rain was not possible, the citizens, they were waiting for. All of a sudden, the rain came, but it was a nice rain. You are not going to suffer. All the citizens of the Anga started dancing by seeing the rain, because there was so many years there was no rain. And King Romapada has received Rishyasringa. Then the Brahmanas, they started recited the Vedic mantras. In this way, the king received Rishyasringa, took him to the palace, and in the palace, the king started worshipping Rishyasringa. And once the worshipping has stopped, finished, completed, then he has offered his daughter, Santa. This is the daughter King Dasarath had in the past, that he has gifted to King Romapada, because he knew that he will get the son. So that's why he was not worried. Romapada didn't have any kids, so that's why he gave this daughter to King Romapada, and Romapada was taking care so nicely. He was loving so much to Santa that he didn't want to give his daughter to anyone else. And by not giving the daughter, the kingdom becomes so impious, and that's why the rain didn't come. And that's why, as Romapada received Rishyasringa, then they started rain, and then he has given his hand to Rishyasringa. Santa got married, and once they got married, they were stayed there. Vibhandak, the father of Rishyasringa, found out that now my son is at in the kingdom of Anga, and the king, given his daughter to get married. He got so angry. Then he came, to the kingdom, to the palace of the king, and he got so angry. Then before the Vibhandak was coming, the king asked the question to the sages as well as the Brahmanas, now what should I do? If he's coming, he will curse me. Then the Brahmanas and sages, they have advised him, okay, you dress them as like the newly wedded, groom and bride, and bring them to, Vibhandak, and then let Vibhandak decide what it has to be. And what happened? Then, as Vibhandak has entered into the palace, he was so angry, but he, Romapada brought the, daughter as well as Rishyasringa in front of him. By seeing that, Vibhandak got pacified. All of a sudden, calmed down. And he said that this is not the time for cursing the king or his daughter. This is the time I should supposed to be happy, because my son, this is the way it should supposed to be. Although I have tried my best to make him a brahmachari, he couldn't be a brahmachari, so he would be a grihastha, and I should supposed to bless them. So he blessed and he left. Then what happened? This is the story of Rishyasringa. King Dasarath has visited the Anga, met with Romapada, and stayed there for a week. After a week, then he revealed that why he visited the Anga kingdom. He said that, my dear King Romapada, I came here to take your daughter as well as your son-in-law, because your son-in-law is going to perform a yajna called Putra Kamesti Yajna, and by that way, I will get sons. So that way, king was immediately agreed, send his daughter and son-in-law to Ayodhya. They have come with King Dasarath. And then the Ashwamedha Yajna started. Ashwamedha Yajna started for a year. Ashwamedha Yajna continued for a year. After that, the Putra Kamesti Yajna started by Rishyasringa. At the end of the Ashwamedha Yajna, Rishyasringa told King Dasaratha, my dear king, now I'm going to start the Putra Kamesti Yajna, where you will get four sons. He particularly told him four sons. And then he started the Yajna. Once the Putra Kamesti Yajna or Putreshti Yajna started by Rishyasringa, in the Yajna, Rishyasringa offered the ahutis to all the demigods, including Lord Vishnu. But the demigods came first. They came and they invisibly they were present at the sacrifice arena. While the yajna was going on, the demigods they started discussing about only Ravana and his atrocities. How Ravana was creating troubles to the demigods, they were talking about it. And it happened to be Brahma was there, and they are all indirectly indicating Lord Brahma that because you have given the benediction to Ravana, now look what is our situation, how we are suffering. Chandra says, Ravana's servants, they chastise me. They said that keep quiet. Do not speak so much here. Then Brihaspati says, Swalpam jalpam mudhamate Brihaspati na esa sabha vajrena. Oh Brihaspati, keep quiet. Don't speak too much. Keep speak little. To whom they are speaking? They are speaking to the spiritual master of the demigods, Brihaspati, saying that quiet. And who is saying? His servants. Not even Ravana is saying. Ravana's servants is saying that, you know, swalpam jalpam, speak little, don't speak so much. Mudhamate, the foolish Brihaspati, this is not the council of Indra, saying that sabha indrena, vajrena. Vajra, who is holding the vajra? That's only Indra. So this is not the council of Indra that you can speak to the demigods, or you can, you know, even Indra. Here, you speak very little, just be here. Lord Shiva said that, you have no idea my situation. Then some of the demigods said that, why, you are scared to also Ravana? We are scared. I know that we are scared, but we know that he is your devotee. How you are scared? Then he said that, you know, he is my devotee, but I, you know, have to come to his palace to be worshipped in the Brahma Murta time. So every day I have to come and he worships me at his palace. Why you are scared? So some demigods, they ask the question, are you scared? He said, no, I'm not scared. But he is a devotee I don't want near my, you know, Kailas. Then they asked why. Then he said that once what happened, you know, he came to Kailas, he worshipped me, he was very happy, I was very happy, my wife Parvati was very happy, we are sitting there. Then he has gone and knowing, you know, Ravana's mind, you know, if someone has one mind, how many, you know, negative thoughts going on in the mind, or someone is puffed up how they think, and having you know 10 heads and 20 hands, Ravana was very much puffed up. So he thought that, okay, I will now, I'm going to show my power. So he, what he did, in his 20 hands, he tried to lift the mountain of Kailas. He put his hands on the bottom and he started to lifting. As he was lifting, Lord Shiva was sitting on the top of Kailas and he was shaking. Parvati was sitting on the lap. She started even shaking. And then Parvati said that, what happened? Why this is happening? Then Lord Shiva said that my devotee is creating trouble. So what he did, Lord Shiva just pushed his left big toe to the Kailas and his hands got trapped. All 20 hands got trapped. And it was tremendous pain he was getting. And he got trapped there for about how many years, I can't remember. So many years he got trapped there and he started crying and tear was falling from his all 10 heads and crying. And at the end, he started reciting a prayer called Shiva Tandava. Anyone hear Shiva Tandava? It's Ravana Shiva Tandava. You know, it's nice. You know, so many Saivas, the Shiva Bhaktas, they recite the Shiva Tandava. Jata Travi Gale Jvale Prabaha Pavikastale Galeva Lambya Lambita Bhujanga Tunga Malika Damad 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 Ninadama Damar Bayam Chakara Chanda Tandavam Tanotu Nah Shiva Shivam. So this is the prayers he prayed for about 15 slokas like this. He started reciting. Once he started recited, the Lord has pacified, said that, okay, let your hands go now. You don't come here to Kailas. I will come to you and I will be worshipped by you at your palace. Being the Lord, as Asutosh, being so quickly pleased, so he started visiting his place. Then Brahma said that, I have also the problem. I have to go to his place, palace, for reciting the Vedas. And if I come a bit early, his servants, they chastise me, saying that, why you have to be early? You have to come in time, always. So I got so much chastised. But all the demigods, they started pointing out the finger to Lord Brahma. As hearing this, the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, came immediately to rescue Lord Brahma in his rescue. So Valmiki says, Etasmin antare Vishnum upayato mahadvitihi sankha chakra gada panir pitambara mahapatihi. So by hearing this all by the demigods, the Lord immediately left Vaikuntha, and it didn't took that long. And especially the word mahadvitihi, the immense power the Lord has. He can be anytime, anywhere. So he was immediately appeared. And how he has come? Bainateyam samaruhya. So he has sat on the back of Garuda and he has appeared at the sacrifice arena of King Dasarath in Ayodhya. And then the Lord said that, oh demigods, please don't be fear. I am going to come soon and I am going to be taking care of all your problems. You don't have to worry. I will be stay here. I will be, I am going to kill Ravana, kill all his brothers, his sons, nephews, and so many, and grandsons, so many, as many demons are there, I'm going to kill them. And Bhumi was looking, okay, you will kill, but what about me? I have to suffer the most. All the demigods has told you all their problems, I never told. And then the Lord says, Valmiki says that, Dasavarsa sahasrani, dasavarsa satani cha, Vasyami manusa loke palayam prithivim imam. So Valmiki says that dasavarsa sahasrani dasavarsa satani cha. You can count dasavarsa, 10 years time, thousand. So it is 10,000. Then again saying dasavarsa satanicha, and then 10 count, multiply again in 100, that is going to be 1,000. So altogether I will be live here 11,000 years. And I'm going to palayam prithivim imam. So I'm going to take care of this prithivi, so you don't have to worry about it. So bhumi was specified. Anyways, then Lord Brahma has instructed all the demigods that, okay, now you take birth around and in Ayodhya as well as around Ayodhya, wherever it is possible, took birth as like monkeys and bears. So then the demigods, they were so much pacified, they have taken the birth. And then the Lord has, as the Putra Kamesti Yajna was about to end, Rishyasringa started offering the Purnahuti. Purnahuti is certain Vedic mantras to end the Yajna. Means the Yajna was totally about to complete. So, as about to end the Yajna, the Purnahuti was started, Rishyasringa started reciting the Purnahuti. Then the Lord, he came as on his Garuda, but he has entered into the fire. And then there was an exalted personality came out from the fire with a pot. So what happened? The Lord has entered into the fire and then entered into the pot. And in that pot, brought by the great personality named Prajapati. Balmik says that it's a Prajapati or Prajapati, that's Agni. He has appeared in from the fire with the pot, and he brought to King Dasarath, and he says, Balmik says, Idam tu nirpasatula payasam deva nirmitam. Oh dear King Dasarath, this is the pious or the Yajna Charu I have brought. It is made by the Deva Nirmitam. Deva means the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Deva. So he has entered into the pot, and that's why it's not like the pious or the sweet rice what we eat, the rice, sugar and milk. It's not that one. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself there is the Yajna Charu or the Payasam. So it was given to King Dasaratha. And then Dasaratha asked how to distribute that to the queens. Then the queen, Dasaratha asked Vasishtha, his guru, how to distribute. By the advice of his guru, the payasam or the sweet rice was distributed. 50% payasam was given to Kausalya. Then 25% payasam given to Sumitra. And the rest, 25% divided into half-half. And that was touched by Kausalya and Sumitra, given to Kaikeyi. And that way, the Lord's Garbhadhan Sanskar has took place. And after 11 months and 24 days, the Lord lived in the womb of mother Kausalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra for 11 months and 24 days. After that, it was a great time. It was the time of prior to that, the demigods again did the Garbhastuti or praying to the Lord to appear in this world. So like Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was in the womb of Mother Devaki, the demigods, they came invisibly and they started praying. That is called Garbhastuti. Here also the demigods came, first started reciting the prayers प्रयुद्धमाने जगन्नाथम सर्वदेव नमस्कृत्य. ओ डियर लॉर्ड, वी प्रे आवर हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस टू यू, ओ लॉर्ड जगन्नाथ. सिमिलरली इन भागवतम, द डेमिगॉड्स रिसाइटिंग बिफोर द लॉर्ड अपीयर, सत्य व्रतम सत्य परम त्रिसत्यं सत्यस्य योनिं नीतांस्य सत्ये सत्यस्य सत्य ऋत सत्य नेत्रं सत्यात्मकं त्वं शरणं प्रपन्नः. सो द डेमिगॉड्स सेम, दे आर प्रेइंग देयर व्हेन कृष्णा इज कमिंग, एंड हियर द लॉर्ड इज कमिंग रामचंद्र. सो इट वाज द मंथ ऑफ चैत्र, दिस इज द मंथ ऑफ चैत्र ऑफ कोर्स, शुक्ल पक्ष. And in a month, there is two pakshas. One is Krishna paksha and one is Shukla paksha. And it was Shukla paksha and it was Navami Tithu. It was the ninth day of the Shukla paksha. Today is the eighth day. Tomorrow it will be the ninth day of Shukla paksha. And Navami Tithu, Punarbasu Nakshatra. And then the Nakshatra, the star was Punarbasu. At that time, and then the planet was Karkata Lagne, and the planet was Karkata. In that time, at noon time, it was a Tuesday, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, first appeared. Lord Ramachandra ki, followed by Bharat, then Lakshman and Shatrughna. So whenever we call Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, isn't it? We don't call Ram, Bharat, Lakshman, Shatrughna. Because the Garbhadhan Sanskar, as I have sequentially told you, that the Garbhadhan Sanskar first happened, Lord Ramachandra, then Sumitra got the 25% of the payasam. Then the rest 25% was given to Kaikeyi, divided into two. So that way the Garbhadhan Sanskar was happened, so that's why in age, Lakshman is older than Bharat, but in this material world, Bharat is older than Lakshman. So that's the difference. Okay, so we are going to stop here. If there is any question or comments, please. Srila Prabhupada ki, Lord Ramachandra ki.